Taking a look now at how to stay on track with summer fitness. My guest, Dustin Maher, personal trainer and fitness expert with a degree in kinesiology, exercise science from the University of Wisconsin. He's been a regular guest on our program for a long time now, so it's great to have him back to talk about how to stay on track with that summer fitness program. You can reach us with your own questions or comments. Maybe you've got a specific question. Is it easy or harder for you to keep track of fitness and nutrition goals in the summer? What types of exercises do you enjoy in the summer that you don't get to do the rest of the year? Join us at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org. Dustin, good to have you back.
Super excited.
Tell you what, I think there's kind of a feeling of those of us here in the Midwest that we're always worried about other people and we don't necessarily take care of ourselves.
Yeah, that's totally true. And especially the summer months, I think we're just so busy. And I speak a lot around the country and especially in Wisconsin here. And I was speaking to a large group of teachers 2 weeks ago and I shared this story. So I'll quick share it with you, about a 1 minute story. And it really, you know, touched them and really showed, kind of helped bring this point to bear. So basically the story goes, there was a teacher and it's a mom, female, and she had two kids. And, you know, throughout those past year, she's just been working really hard as a teacher, really giving to her students, really, you know, going the extra mile during the whole government issues. She was down at the Capitol, you know, doing her thing there. And she just has been so busy this year and stressed out. And she's noticed her pants are getting a little tighter around the waist. And she's getting a little more snappy with her kids. She just kind of feels overwhelmed. And I think a lot of people can relate to that. And finally, though, over spring break, she was able to go on vacation with her and her husband and her kids to Disneyland. And they were driving to Milwaukee. They got on the airplane. And before it's ready to take off, the announcements come on for the safety things. And she's heard it 100 times before. But, you know, they say in case if there's a loss of oxygen or cabin pressure, oxygen masks will come down. And what do they say? Do you know? Remember what they say?
Yeah, they say put it on yourself
yes,
first.
Yes, absolutely.
And then the person next to you.
Yes, put it on yourself first before you help, you know, kids or other people around. And at that moment, she just stopped and she realized, wow, I've been putting the oxygen mask on everyone else in my life, my kids, my family, my husband, and I have not been putting it on mine. And that's why I've been crabby. I haven't really, you know, taken care of my body. And so, you know, from that moment on, she realized I've got to put myself first, which does sound selfish, but you've got to make that time and create it for eating healthy, exercising, you know, meditating, whatever you do to feel good.
That is a great, great story. And so she embarked on a fitness program?
Yeah, or? So she just, you know, she started and hopefully she'll continue on with it. And you know, she's already noticing that she's feeling better and, you know, her relationship with her kids is better and her husband and you know, well, she's off for the summer now, but, you know, her job is going better, teaching. So it's a win-win for everyone, but it's really amazing because it's counterintuitive. By creating or making that time for exercise, that you actually have more time, that you feel better. Maybe getting, you know, 20 minutes less of sleep in the morning, getting up in the morning earlier can actually help out a lot.
Are there some new trends in fitness, by the way, or
you know, I still think strength training is still a pretty big trend, and I mean growing trend. I mean P90X, Insanity, more intense workouts have become, I would say, more popular, which I'm really happy about because that's really what I believe in. And you know, I think people are being more smart about marketing and the infomercials where it's just quick fixes. You know, wear this belt, pop this pill. I think people are becoming, you know, aware that these are, I mean, I don't want to say scams, but in many cases they are, and it actually does take hard work, consistency, and it just doesn't happen overnight or by accident.
Yeah. David in South Milwaukee has a question for you. Let's go there. Hi, David. Thank you for calling.
Well, good morning, Larry. Good morning, Dustin.
Good morning.
I'm wondering if you could help me with a little shape-shifting problem here. My dad was a farmer, and he's a rather slim guy, but he had his muscles on him. But I used to marvel, once again in the summertime here, when he had his shirt off, you'd see a rather slim body, and then he had this big bulge, which began at the belt area and went down to his groin.
Yep.
And so I had a colonoscopy a while back, and guess what? I got the same situation he does, so I asked the doctor about it, And he said, no, you just got a lot of convoluted plumbing down there. And so what I like to do is get maybe 2-3 exercises, a number of reps, how many times a week, to kind of pull that in if I could. And then I like to shift that back to the backside. He didn't have much of a buttocks, and I don't either. So I like to build that up a bit. So if you do the same on that end. By the way, what does that muscle do? I do squats, and all I do is feel it in my thighs. And, it doesn't seem to help the butt.
That's a great question. Okay, so we're almost going to be able to kill both birds with one stone here. So I think squats are a great exercise, but when you're doing squats, as you come up, you're going to be working quads, but as you come up, squeeze the glutes and squeeze the butt a little bit more, and that's really good for it. A couple other good exercises for that would be step-ups, you know, stepping up to on a bench or a chair or like a, you know, something that's about 18 to 24 inches up, and you can use weights for that. About 10 to 12 reps for, you know, two sets. Do that a couple times a week. Lunges are good if your knees are good. And then the other one for the backside that's awesome are deadlifts. And for those of you who don't know what deadlifts are, basically you're either holding dumbbells or a straight bar right in front of you by your shins. And you bend over, slight bend in the knees, hinging at the waist, keeping your back really long and straight. You don't want to round on that one. And then you just slowly lift the weight up so that in your arms stay straight. And you pull the weight up to your mid-thigh area and then lower it back down towards the ground. So those are really good for the backside. And actually, those are really good for getting rid of the gut, too, from an exercise standpoint, because working the legs are super important. So you definitely want to focus on those. And a lot of it comes down to nutrition. So I don't know if your dad was a big drinker, for example, but, you know, drinking alcohol for men especially puts it on in their gut. You know, and just really eating all natural foods, trying to get less processed foods, and watching the portion size are going to be your best bets.
There you go. Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate it. And Renee in Prairie du Sac. Let's go to you now. Hi, Renee.
Hi. Hey, I just wanted to say first that I signed up for Dustin's newsletter, and I love it. It's awesome. So anyone listening should go sign up right away. And then I have a quick question. It's a two-part question. Basically, how do you get that flat stomach? Being a mom, obviously, and talking with other moms, a lot of them have been struggling with time issues. So what would you advise for that?
Yeah. Thanks, Renee. Great question. So for the stomach issue, you know, there's a couple different parts to it. There's three parts to it, in my opinion. For women who have just had a baby the last few years, you've got to get the core muscles strong enough. Okay, that's key. Not only from an aesthetic standpoint, but just from a physical standpoint, you're less likely to hurt yourself if you have a strong core. So doing things that focus on the deep core muscles, planks, where it's basically you're in a push-up position, you can be on your forearms on the ground, just maintaining that flat back position. Side planks are really good, like a swimmer exercise where you're on your belly on the ground, reaching your arms up in front of you, having your legs extended, lifting legs up and down. Those are all going to be really important exercises. Second thing is total body resistance training, which you kind of just mentioned with the last guy, doing exercises that are going to tone the legs, which does kind of seem counterintuitive. But those leg muscles, if built, you know, if you put on a few pounds of leg muscle, you're definitely going to boost your metabolism a little bit. And then the third part is the nutrition, which I find most people to have the biggest challenge with. And moms especially, when they're new, you know, they've got their kids who are getting up every couple hours. Their eating schedules are all off. Their sleep schedules are all off. So, you know, trying to have scheduled meals throughout the day. And again, just focusing on natural foods, higher protein, and trying to stay away from processed foods and try to stay away from drinking most calories.
Oh, great.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. Dustin Maher, our guest today, as we talk staying on track with summer fitness, give us a call with your questions. We have open lines to get you on pretty quickly here at 1-800-642-1234 or email us at talk@wpr.org. She mentioned your newsletter, and that's at dustinmaherfitness.com.
Yep, Maher is how you spell my last name. Is Dustin with a D, not J. I get a lot of emails from your listeners saying Justin, but that's all right. But dustinmaherfitness.com, and on the right-hand side there, just put your name and email, completely free. I spend about 10 hours a week writing those things. It's my labor of love to all you guys, so please sign up for that, and you'll get a lot out of it.
All right. And we have... I have some more questions for you, too,
sure.
Before we go back to the phones. Hot weather, I know warm weather is great for outdoor activities. Hot weather can be, it could be even dangerous. It's certainly uncomfortable.
Yep.
What do we need to keep in mind when exercising, playing sports in the hot weather?
Sure. So a couple things. Ideally, during the peak hours of the day when it's the hottest, and we had a couple days that reached over 100 degrees heat index, and you definitely want to try to stay away from working out much in that time period. So working out in the mornings, working out in the evenings as the sun's kind of going down, wearing light, breathable clothes. So cotton's not the greatest thing to be wearing. You know, maybe cut your workouts down a little bit. Of course, staying hydrated. Maybe, you know, if you're a runner, maybe putting on a wet, cold t-shirt that you have in the refrigerator or something, or even freezer if you're that daring, and run with that. And so maybe for the first 15, 20 minutes, it'll still stay cool. But then, you know, like I said before, just staying hydrated. And if you are going to be out for more than an hour, hour and a half, and you're going to be sweating a lot, you're going to need to replace those electrolytes. So a sports drink can be one option at that point.
Julian Wayawiga emailed us. She says, I'm training for my first marathon this fall. I've completed 10 half marathons in the past 18 months and feel confident. 10 and 18 months. She feels confident she can.
It's a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot. She can finish a full marathon. She says, I'm training with the run, walk, run method. I'm up to 18 miles for my long run and feel good. I also completed the P90X lean program this spring and use it 3 to 4 times a week for cross training. My maximum weekly mileage is 26 to 30 miles. Do I really need to have to run 40 miles per week of running in order to complete and feel good after the marathon?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I'm really happy that you said that you're doing P90X. So you're doing some resistance training, because I was concerned if you were just running, which is a big problem I see with runners, is they only run. So, you know, doing strength training and then doing a lot of core training, because as your mileage increases, people who have weak cores, their form tends to not look so well, and they can get some injuries from there. Now, I will say I am not a marathon running expert, so I don't necessarily want to speak on a specific program with that. But what I would say is that I have seen a lot of people overtrain with marathons, and maybe the conventional wisdom of the more is better approach isn't necessary. So I would say look at that and find some people who maybe are doing less and still doing really well, and see if you can learn from them too.
Yeah, absolutely. I was thinking back to my days of bicycling long distances, like we did a 500-mile trip, and I really never went over 40 or 50 miles most times in training, but still I was able to do 100 miles in a day.
Yeah, and you know what? That brings up a story. I've got a girl in one of my boot camps, and she was a college runner, so she's pretty athletic, and she did half marathons. And last year she did a half marathon. Don't know what her time was, but this year she did not train one time. She didn't run one time, but she just did the boot camp, so strength training in about 30-second runs, and she was able to 4 minutes slower this time with no training, basically, for it.
Dustin Maher will be with us right up until 12:30 on the Ideas Network. Talking staying on track with summer fitness with our guest today, Dustin Maher, personal trainer and fitness expert with a degree in kinesiology exercise science from the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Been a regular on our program for a long time now. And certainly it's great to have you listening in. And if you have some questions for him, give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or go to our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. Post a question there. Love to hear from you. You talk a lot about core training in your programs.
Yeah, I think core is super important. You know, not necessarily just from a complete fat loss standpoint, because I've mentioned this before that, you know, the ab muscles aren't that big compared to your other muscles in your body. So that's why doing, you know, 1,000 crunches is not going to get you your ripped, you know, flat stomach, or for the guys for the six pack, unless you're already really lean already. That's why I think those ab belts, those electric stimulation are a bunch of scams, because it really doesn't get to the root issue. But having a core program is super important.
And you have some CDs and DVDs that deal with that.
Yeah, I've got core DVDs. And you know what I want to do for you guys as listeners? You guys have been so supportive of me the last 3 years. And so my Got Core DVDs, 8 workouts on the ball, and I want to give them to you guys for free. So I created a website just for your listeners, Dustin Maher Workout DVD, DustinMaher WorkoutDVD.com. And then when you go to checkout, it says it's $59.99. That's the retail price on them. You're going to put in the coupon code WPR. WPR coupon code, and I'd love to give those to you. All you got to pay for is $4.95 shipping and handling, just to help me cover a little of my costs. So I'm going to do it for 250 of your listeners.
Tony in Mount Horeb has a question for you. Let's go there. Hi, Tony.
Good afternoon. Thanks for the opportunity, Dustin and Larry. I suppose you get this question every time Dustin's on, but here's the scenario: 59-year-old, recently retired, decent shape. Never really did anything other than working in the yard and working at my job as a nurse in the hospital. But I was wondering about a general kind of weekly pattern for old core strength, aerobic flexibility, balance. And I will certainly sign up for that DVD as soon as I get off the phone.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great question. And here's my philosophy. You know, it sounds like you just said you're recently retired, so you probably have a little extra time.
Right.
But I'll give you even the minimum version first, and then I'll go into a little more detail. But 3 times a week of strength training. I would say 30 minutes. Total body strength training, so hit the big muscle groups. I'm not going to go into detail what exercise specifically, but big muscle groups, 3 times a week. 2 sets of 8 to 12 reps. That's pretty basic. Mm-hmm. 2 other days a week, I would try to get some sort of additional cardio in. Now, if it's off days, that's fine. You can do it on your off days or on the same days as strength training. That's cool. Whether that's biking, swimming, running, you know, whatever. Trying to get the heart rate up high, though. Don't just do long, continuous cardio. For flexibility, I think yoga is the greatest thing for flexibility. And as someone ages, so you're in your late 50s, flexibility becomes crucial. So I recommend a yoga program, whether you go through a local yoga establishment or just get a DVD on yoga and do that for 30 minutes twice a week, something like that. Mm-hmm. And that right there is a pretty complete program. And then I tell people just live a healthy, which sounds like you do, live a healthy life and make activity part of your daily routine, So whatever that may mean to you.
How about I already have a treadmill and weights.
Yep.
So do I need to have someone look at my weightlifting technique before I proceed?
Well, I mean, it always can help. I mean, that's certainly, see a qualified personal trainer and watch for form. Because if you do it incorrectly, you probably can get away with it for a while, but chances are if you continually do something incorrectly, you'll get some sort of injury. And as someone gets older, the buffer, I guess you could say, the greater chance of getting injured. So yeah, that would certainly be a great insurance policy to do that.
In the core strengthening, whenever you think about it, Captain?
Yeah. Within that strength training, I kind of forgot to mention that. I would do about 5 to 10, maybe 15 minutes of core 2 to 3 times a week.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. And the flexibility twice a week should be sufficient.
Yeah. And if you're finding yourself not progressing like you'd like to, throw in an extra, day, that's something you can do pretty much every day without overtraining. So if you have extra time and you want to, do yoga type exercise, 4 times a week, that's cool too.
Okay.
The time, guys.
Yep.
All right. Thanks a lot. Scott in Green Bay, we're on to you now. Hi, Scott.
Good morning, I guess good afternoon. I suppose over the months you probably had this question several times, but I haven't heard you for several months now, so I'm going to ask it anyway. What do you think of P90X? I'm a mid-50s guy who just finished around about 8 weeks ago of P90X. I didn't do it in the 12 weeks. That's the program. I kind of believe in moderation and things, and although I went hard at it when I did it, I wasn't some kind of compulsive,
yeah,
crazy person about it, like some of the videos and
right,
the testimonials would encourage you to be.
Right.
I tried to eat healthy, but I didn't follow any particular diet plan. I got results. I lost 2 inches off my waist. I lost 15 pounds, although I retained my ice cream middle, unfortunately,
yeah,
but
yeah,
that's the way it goes. And my goal was functionality, not
right,
beach body.
Right, right.
So I guess I have two specific questions about it. One, you're working out pretty hard during that hour-long routine after the first 10 minutes of stretching and warm-up,
yep,
goes by. Is that adequate from a cardiovascular point of view for your aerobic component, or do you need to add running or some other,
yep,
frankly, cardiovascular activity during that? And then the second question is, after you get done with P90X, they say that if you do about half of each routine on an ongoing basis, that will serve to,
yeah,
maintain your gains or your functionality at that point. And I just wanted an outside observer who knows what they're talking about to...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, both great questions. So I think P90X is a great program.
What,
I mean,
explain it a little
bit. So P90X, you've probably seen the infomercials, mostly ripped guys with their shirts off, showing off of what they've accomplished. But it's a 90-day program, and there's like a lot, I think 10 DVDs, basically strength training with plyometrics, jumping activities, with yoga-based stretching thing. Pluses to it, I think it works great. It really focuses on the strength training functionality. I love it. Negatives, like you kind of mentioned, it's a large time commitment. It's between an hour and a half a day, six days a week.
Oh.
Very hard for people to maintain. So the question is, do I think that's enough time for cardiovascular? Absolutely. I think even a 30-minute type workout like that is enough. That's why a lot of my clients, they don't even do a lot of extra cardio, because when you're working out like P90X, which is back-to-back exercises with little rest in between, your heart rate's going to be really high and your heart's going to be strong. You're going to be pumping that blood throughout the body. So absolutely, that's enough. And the second question is that enough to maintain, or how do you maintain? I think that's the tricky part, because a lot of people see that 90 days as their final goal. And I've had people say they're so sick of P90X by the end of the 90 days that they kind of stop doing exercise completely after it, which kind of is not what you want to have happen. So, yeah, I think a half of that time is absolutely adequate. I mean, my workouts that I do myself personally, and I'm having my boot camps and DVDs, are like 30 to 45 minutes long. I never really go over 45 minutes with any of the workouts. So, yes, that's totally...
Kyle emailed and wonders, says, I'm currently trying to lose weight. I've always mixed cardio and resistance training. Now I'm curious about carb cycling. What do you think about that?
Yeah, so carb cycling, for those of you who don't know, is where you change your carbs every day or every other day. So some days you have a higher carb day, some days are moderate carbs, some days are lower carbs. And the theory behind that is it changes the hormones and keeps your body guessing and continually is burning fat. Because when you consistently have like a low-calorie, low-carb diet, your body will slow down and conserve on a lower calorie diet. So I think carb cycling is a great thing to do. I would test it out on yourself. It probably doesn't work for everyone, but most of my friends who do fitness modeling and competitions and are some of the leanest people in the world, they carb cycle all the time. So I think it's really good to do. So for those of you guys listening, you know, maybe one day a week or 2 days a week, you have a higher carb day, or maybe it's even your cheat day or cheat, you know, I've talked a lot about cheat days and cheat meals. Those are great high carb days to really kind of refuel and replenish and get your body kind of back on track. And then you go, you know, real low carb, very low carb, you know, 1 or 2 days a week, and then moderate carbs a couple days a week.
We have Diane emailing us too and said, I've had thigh issues all my life, even when I was in my teens, late teens. Now that I'm 50, they are getting a lot worse. What exercises are the best for getting rid of the excess fat? I've noticed them getting worse on my inner legs all the way down to the sides of my knees.
Okay. Yeah. It's a common problem, especially in women, the pear-shaped type. So part of it's genetics, absolutely. But a few things you can do. And a lot of people I see, I'm glad she's asking this question with exercise, because a lot of people are scared to do exercises on their legs that are already big. They think they're going to get bigger. Not the case, I promise. So combination of front lunges and side lunges. And if you don't know what these are, I would say just, you know, go on YouTube or something, look up on my website. I've got plenty of videos. So side lunges are great for the butt, inner and outer thighs. Back lunges you can also do. I already mentioned before, step-ups, squats, and all these are with weight, not just your body weight. So use extra resistance, whether it's holding dumbbells or holding a chair or holding a suitcase, whatever you can find around the house. And then the deadlifts, which we mentioned earlier on, those are going to be your best ones. And then a lot of it comes down to, again, eating. I feel like I'm saying the same thing today, but eating's going to lose the fat. And if you hold more of your fat in your thighs, you're going to start losing approximately equal percentage proportions everywhere. But because you have more on your thighs, it's going to seem like they're not going down at all. But I can promise you, if you measure them, they will be going down with the rest of your body.
Kathy and Nina, your turn. Hi, Kathy.
Hello. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I'm calling with a different kind of question. I know that when one's outside in the heat exercising, it's important to be perspiring. But I notice that my body does most of its perspiring after I've been out exercising, walking, whatever I'm doing outside, when I come back indoors. Is this normal?
Oh, that's an interesting question. I don't know. I I think everyone sweats at different levels, and I've seen some people like hardly sweat at all. I mean, I know when I work out personally, I keep sweating a lot afterwards, but I'm also usually sweating, you know, throughout it too. So if that's the case that you're not sweating during the workouts as much, just be more careful, because that's probably a sign that your body's not quite as efficient at getting rid of the heat. And so you may be prone to overheating a little bit more. So, you know, maybe work out in cooler temperatures, or, you know, have some water that you can throw on your, you know, your shirt or something to cool you off.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yep. Thank you for calling. And Jan in Chippewa Falls, on to you now. Hi, Jan.
Hi. So I have two questions. First one, let's just assume I have no core. Where would be a good place to start? And my second one is what you think about burst training, because someone told me about burst training.
Yes, that's my favorite topic. So for the core training, I just mentioned I'm giving away my DVDs, and we'll mention that again in a moment. But focusing on the deep core first, don't do crunches. I mean, I'm not saying crunches are bad and evil, but they're not as effective as other things. So working on those front planks, side planks, and swimmers. And then also, I've mentioned this in months past, but an exercise I teach called the vacuum, which is where you're drawing in your belly. So we'll do like a 30-second version here. So what you do is you exhale all the air out of your lungs. So you breathe out of your mouth, breathe out of your lungs, hold your breath, and then pull your belly in. So it's trying to suck that belly button in towards your spine, and you should feel a deep contraction everywhere from like your sternum all the way down towards your pubic bone. And you hold that position for 5-10 seconds, and then breathe again, you know, don't pass out, and then repeat that a few times. And what that's doing is that teaching your deep core muscles to stay contracted throughout the day. And the more you do that, the more you're used to it, and you're not even thinking about it, and it's always going to be pulled in to some degree. And research has shown that that can make your waist 2 to 4 inches smaller within like a 2 to 4 week period of time. It has nothing to do with getting rid of the fat or anything, but it's just teaching that belly to be sucked in. So what was your second question? Oh, burst training.
Burst training.
Yeah, so burst training is where you do intense exercise for 10 seconds up to about 60 seconds. So we'll use running because everyone can relate to that. So you run as fast as you can for 30 seconds, and then you recover, whether that's a jog or a walk or pretty much nothing at all, just standing there, for between 2 to 3 times longer than you just exercise. So if you're doing a 30-second sprint, you're resting or recovering for a minute to a minute and a half. As you get fitter, you can take that rest time down. And the evidence in the last, I would say, 4 to 8 years has been really powerful at how efficient and effective it is at burning fat. And the numbers right now show about 5 to 9 times more effective at burning fat than steady state cardio. So like marathon training, for example. And it's so much more time efficient. So if you don't have much time. So what I would do is do about 8 of those intervals, take about 15 minutes total for them, you know, warm up first. But you can do that on a bike, you could do it in a pool swimming, you could do it on a stair climber, on an elliptical machine. But the key is to get that heart rate up to about 90% or more of your max heart rate. So it's uncomfortable, which is why I think a lot of people don't do it.
Okay, well, I'll try it.
Yeah, give it a
give
shot.
Give it a shot. Thanks for calling. And Barbara in Milwaukee, it's your turn. Hi, Barbara.
Yes, I have a question about what type of exercise plan you'd put on somebody. Well, I'm in my mid-50s and... going through some injuries, shoulder injuries, and I have some knee issues, and I'll be having some surgery coming soon, and what kind of program you would put an individual on in order to maintain some sort of shape, conditioning.
With those injuries, you're saying?
Yes.
Well, you're a little bit limited there with what you can do with your upper body. I would try to do maybe lighter weights and just see if there's things that you can do. You know, still with the upper body, so at least bicep curls and shoulder presses and bent rows. I don't know if push-ups are out of the question, but things like that. Just continually, like, I'm not a fan of lightweights, but in your situation, that would be an okay thing. And then, you know, to work the lower body, a couple things. I've got bad knees too, so squats just going down partway, so maybe halfway down squats will be good. This should be decent for you. Hip raises, so that's where you're laying on the ground, your back's on the ground, and then your feet are on the ground bent, and then you just lift your hips up, and then you bring it back down. It's also called a bridge. Some people call that a bridge. You can do that single leg. And then the deadlifts, which I've already talked about today, with a straight bar, dumbbells, where you kind of pick them up from the ground with keeping your legs relatively straight and maintaining your back in a flat position. Those are all pretty good, that they don't require much knee bend or much pressure on the knees.
And what type of cardio would...
Cardio, probably an elliptical would be decent. Maybe walking up a hill, depending on how the knee can handle hills, but like whether that's on a treadmill or not. Stair climbing probably would bother the knee. Some people it doesn't, but probably, you know, I would stay away from running.
Biking.
I forgot about biking. That should be pretty good on it. Most people's knees handle that pretty well.
Okay, thank you.
Yep.
And Matthew in Eau Claire. Hi, Matthew.
Hi, Larry. How are you doing today?
Good. Thanks for calling.
My question is I'm a pretty big guy. I'm 6'1", 300 pounds. I used to be in shape. Back in school, I was able to run a 6-minute mile. You know, I lifted weights, worked out on a daily basis. I suffered an injury playing some sports back then, and I sort of got out of the fitness thing. So I'm getting to be about 30, and I want to be in shape again. So I guess the question I have is, being out of it for so long, better on 10 years, where would be a good start for me to try to get back into, you know, getting a little bit off the tummy,
yeah,
able to run a little bit faster, stuff like that?
First of all, you're in a great position. You're still relatively young. You were in shape before. You're the type of person the Biggest Loser looks for, I know, in contestants. You're not that big, but you should be able to get great results. And email me a little bit later once you start to see him. I'd love to hear from you. But what I would do is probably a lot of the same things you did when you were an athlete, but just starting off a little slower with those things. So whatever got you in shape before is probably what you're going to want to go back to. And the guy a couple calls ago was asking a similar question with kind of what would you start with. And, you know, 3 days a week of strength training, 30 to 45 minutes, and then some sort of cardiovascular, you know, 2 or 3 times a week, 20 to 30 minutes, and incorporating those bursts. I'm not sure when you started listening to the radio, but we were talking about burst training before. And, you know, keeping it at low impact, you know, at the beginning, just to make sure that your body can respond to it. You know, you got a lot of weight, so running is not the greatest thing on your joints at this point. I love stair climbing because it's low impact. Walking up hills, so set that treadmill, if you have a treadmill access to like 10 to 15% and walk at like 4 miles an hour, and you'll get out of breath real quick. And
okay.
And those are really good to start with too. And then with eating, I would say tell everyone that you know that you're going to start a program and why you're going to do it. So get support of everyone else around you. Start a food journal. If you want to email me your food journal, I'd love to look at it for you. And and really focus on the eating part, because, you know, at your size and your age, you should be able to lose probably 5 pounds a week pretty easily for a while.
Well, what is the ideal weight for someone of my age?
6'1".
I mean, I'm a pretty big guy.
So you got kind of bigger bone structure?
Yeah.
I mean, probably not more than 200 pounds, I would say.
I mean, when I was fit running that 6-minute mile, I was about 235.
You were? Okay. Well, that's pretty.
So,
you do have a big structure. I mean, so maybe around that time, you know, you may not have as much muscle anymore, or you may not even build as much muscle as you did back then. So maybe you'd even be lighter than 235. It'd kind of be more of a body fat issue. And then also waist circumference. And this is good for everyone listening. The studies show if you can have a waist circumference for men under 40 inches, so that's around the biggest part of your belly. So I'd encourage you to measure yourself. And 40 inches and above, you're at a much higher risk for heart disease and all that stuff, diabetes. And then for women, it's 35 inches and above. So I think the ideal size, they say, for waist is between like 32 and 35 inches for guys. So if you can get under 35 inches, that's great.
There you go.
Okay.
Thanks a lot. And you mentioned those CDs.
DVDs.
Or DVDs, excuse me.
Yeah, 8 workouts, my Got Core DVDs. They retail for $60 normally. I want to give them to you guys for free for just the support that you guys have shown me in the last 3 years. So I created a special website for you. It's Dustin Maher Workout DVD, D-U-S-T-I-N, M-A-H-E-R, workoutdvd.com. And then when you go to the add to cart shopping, you have to put the coupon code in, WPR. That'll wipe away the cost. Just pay a couple bucks for shipping handling so I don't lose too much money on it. Share it with your friends. Put it on Facebook, whatever you want to do. And I'd love to get those into your hands in the next few days.
And what are you up to now? You got some boot camps are going. And...
Yeah, I mean, I got still have my 11 boot camp locations. They're booming like crazy. The last 6 months, I've really put a lot of effort into my book that's going to be mm-hmm. coming out. It's called, I guess I can announce it, my first time publicly announcing it, Fit Moms for Life, How to Have Endless Energy to Outplay Your Kids. And so we got a publisher out in New York City, and it's going to be coming out. We're not sure the date yet. It's going to be probably real late this year. Maybe early next year, but hopefully it'll get online in the next 3 to 4 months. So you guys can go to my website and sign up for my free newsletter, and you'll get all the details about that. But besides that, speaking, traveling a lot, and loving life.
Good enough. Thank you so much, Dustin.
Thank you.
We'll look forward to another visit.
Thanks.
Dustin Maher, personal trainer and fitness expert, and he has his degree in kinesiology exercise science from the UW-Madison. Taking a look ahead, boy, where did the week go? I guess the 4th of July being on Monday kind of made for a short week for most of us anyway. Even though I was here, did my show. No, I didn't. Judith Sears-Boisson did the show for me. Oh, man. Tomorrow, though, Milwaukee-based gardening guru Melinda Myers joins us for Garden Talk. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.